This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Dan Hurley. People love lists that rank cities. Where do we fit on the list for the best places to visit, to raise a family, to start a business? But over the last decade, several lists have come out that have shocked Cincinnatians. Those lists show that we are either second or fourth highest rate of child poverty in the United States. Child poverty is really family poverty. Poverty is complex. Addressing it demands creativity and nimbleness. We are joined today by representatives of two local efforts. The Family Independence Initiative, FII, has been tested in other cities for about 15 years and was brought to Cincinnati 8 months ago by the Greenlight Fund. The director of FII in Cincinnati is Vashti Rutledge. She is joined by program participant today, Carla Belcher. The second program, Prosperity for All, is a grassroots effort developed by a team in Class 1 of Leadership Action 3 years ago as a pilot project pairing Easter Seals and Cincinnati State. Last week, that pilot project got a vote of confidence and infusion of new funding. The program manager who is with us today for Prosperity for All is Brandy Lewis. She is joined by the director of workforce development, the Workforce Development Center at Cincinnati State, Cheryl Brackman. To join our discussion today, please call 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Welcome, everybody. It's great to have you here.
Thank you for having us.
And I have one of my my times when I have to declare I have a conflict of interest here because I was the director of Leadership Action that helped create Prosperity for All. And therefore, yes, I really like the program, but that's beside the point. So anyway, just to lay that out, that I do have that conflict. Brandy, last week, Prosperity for All got some really good news. What was that?
The great news was that we were financially backed by United Way to continue to roll out Prosperity for All as a program expansion. We were in pilot phase for the last couple years. And with that backing, we were able to roll out some expansion of personnel and to be able to help individuals and their families now.
So in terms of expansion, you know, this was a pilot project. How many people, families were involved up in these first 2 years, and how much expansion are you going to be able to do?
Oh, my gosh. Over the last 2 years, we were able to help over 30-plus individuals, that's not including their family size, to connect them to job training with a certification of an in-demand sector to employment, to really get them to a point where they can earn a wage that is livable, that they would not have to depend on public benefits.
Okay. We'll come back to all those details. So over 30.
Yes.
With this new funding?
Mm-hmm. We're hoping to help out 50 families each year with this funding backing.
Yes. Okay. And Cheryl, right from the beginning, this has been a collaboration between Easter Seals and Cincinnati State. What's the approach that Prosperity of All takes, and what roles does Cincinnati State play in this program?
Well, we work hand in glove with the program, but what we really emphasize is short-term training. And so we, like, for example, the nurse's aide program, the state-tested nurse's aide, we can run a 12-day concentrated program or a Tuesday-Thursday evening kind of concept so that we can work with the student with whatever barriers he or she may have so that we have a successful relationship. So the goal is the student completes the training, gets the certification, and becomes employed.
Okay, so it's not putting somebody into a 2-year program or a 4-year program, but something that people can do relatively quickly but get a different kind of job. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yes. And we work for, as Brandy stated, in demand. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when we look at the need for healthcare currently and as we move into the future, anything in these areas, like the nurse's aid program, like phlebotomy. Another area of opportunity could be child care, moving child care into the five stars so that we can get people trained so they're qualified, but at the end they get better wages.
Okay, especially important now that the new program was passed a couple years ago and adopted to encourage child care agencies to move up in the stars rating. So anyway, let's switch over here and I want to ask Vashti about FII, Family Independence Initiative. On your websites, the national website, I'll point out, you have there's a quote right at the top. The 50-year war on poverty has made living in poverty more tolerable, but it has not made it more escapable. Why do people sort of begin to get out of poverty and then slip back in? Because that's one of your basic, in your program, basic insights as to how to keep people moving.
So a term that has become fairly popular, but maybe is living in the nonprofit sector, is this idea around the cliff effect. And that idea is that as a family continues to move up, right, as you get a 50-cent raise each year or, right, you get a slightly better job, you're making more money. And so the safety net supports you're no longer eligible for. Someone who is getting daycare vouchers or receiving SNAP benefits to help them with food may go from making $11 an hour to $12 or $13 an hour. But what they lose in benefits when they become income ineligible doesn't make up for the loss. Exactly. So if you're making another $100 to $200 a month, right, because of a 50-cent raise, that isn't enough to make up the difference of losing the subsidy that you received of over $300 or $400 to help you pay for your childcare expenses. And so what we see is that families who work to get ahead oftentimes find themselves in more debt and in more difficult circumstances because the gap between what you need as a livable wage in order to sustain yourself in our community is not connected to the jobs and the wages that folks are able to access. And so oftentimes families will work themselves out of poverty, but find themselves coming back into poverty because of the effects of falling off of those cliffs.
Well, and another way of looking at that cliff effect is that people can do a very rational calculation and say, I'm worse off, even though I'm making a little bit more money. I'm worse off than I was before because I don't have that voucher to have my child go to daycare, and daycare is expensive, yeah, I've got a problem.
And that's definitely true. And I think some of the worst thing to hear is to hear a parent say they turned down a raise or that they've asked their job not to give them a raise because of the fear of the benefits that they would lose, right? Because from the outside, you may be thinking, well, this person is not motivated to change their situation. But they literally have to think about the day-to-day expenses that allow them to take care of their family. And so those type of calculations are things that families have to make every day in order to figure out how are we going to get by this month.
So Carla Belcher, you are a participant in FII. Now, this has only been operating, I mean, I said 8 months. The announcement was last August.
Yes.
How long has the program actually been in operation?
So we launched last August, so I guess that gives us 10 months in, just about, and we enrolled our first family groups in November.
Okay.
So our first family groups are really just turning the curve around 6 months.
Okay. So Carla, how did you find out about this program? And we're going to talk later about exactly what it is and how it's different than that cliff effect.
Okay.
How did you find out about it and what attracted you to it?
Okay. So I found out about Vashti and the family FII through Warrior Moms. Warrior Moms is a nonprofit that basically is trying to support the single mom to eradicate her mind out of poverty. So I was a contestant of that, which is now turned into a movement, and that's how I met her, Vashti. It's been an amazing journey, only because I'm one of those people that you're talking about. I'm now employed at Duke Energy, but I'm on long-term disability, so I'm not able to work, but I am, through FII, able to connect myself back into my community and perform a lot of civic duties, and I'm just working hard helping other people to learn about FII and to educate myself.
And how long have you been a part of the program?
So we heard about it in November, so I was an actual participant in December.
Yes.
So pretty quickly.
Yeah.
You're one of the early.
Yeah.
The early adopters, as they say.
Yes, and I've done so much in that short period of time.
You know, what we were just talking about with what Vashti was talking about with the cliff effect and how people have to sort of change attitudes and things. There's a part of this, and I know with Prosperity for All, there are just rules that get in the way that exist. And one of the things that the project team had to get a waiver for to make Prosperity for All even get started, they had to get waivers from the state and local JFS, Job and Family Services. What were the rules that were interfering there?
Well, when a person is receiving public benefits, directly cash benefits, there are certain requirements that they are required to do to maintain those benefits, such as work requirements or volunteer requirements. There are some type of school requirements that you can complete, but folks aren't completing school in the amount of time before cash assistance is not available, which is 36 months. So Prosperity for All was really the brainchild for Leadership Action Group, and they wanted to make change at legislation level, okay? They went to Columbus and fought and said, can we get some type of waiver to say folks can complete school without that compliance issue? There's a trust factor there too, Dan. You know, folks believe that they don't have the time or the support to complete a certificate or a program that could get them to a livable wage because the folks that they're coming across are saying, be compliant, do what you need to do. So this leadership action group, where they were told, well, go back to your county. Let's see what the county can do. The county really came to the table with this group and said, well, we have a high compliance rate. Let's let some of your individuals, if they're actively participating with PFA, let's make sure that they're still receiving their benefits and are able to attain that short-term certification. So we were able, I think the trust of Easter Seals as a nonprofit really came into play here. It brought all to the table, and Job and Family Services said, we trust Easter Seals. We've already been in a partnership with you for over a decade, and we would like to see how this can be fruitful. And that's what happened. If a person was engaged with PFA, they would be able to satisfy the requirements to keep their public benefits. So you were keeping your benefits, getting some education to get to that higher goal for your family of a livable wage, a higher wage.
Cheryl Brackman with Cincinnati State. This is gets me back into what you were talking about, that the types of programs that are being focused on here are certification programs, and that lead not to just jobs, but potentially career ladders so that people can build from one job to the next. Am I right?
Yes. And the other piece can be getting college credit that is a pathway. So when you take a training at Cincinnati State, especially through workforce development, it is short term. So what it helps with this population, with all of the issues that have been addressed, you know, child care and health care and just a number of barriers, transportation that they have to overcome, we can help set here's your strategic plan. This is where you would like to be, but how we can help you in the short term. So we can get you here, get you trained, but then we can work with you to say this can be a pathway. So let's take, for example, nurse's aide. So that can be your short-term goal, but maybe your long-term goal might be medical assistant, LPN, RN. And you have the perk of getting some college credits that are completely transferable as you move into a higher pathway. And we can do that with any of the programs that we offer here that are these short-term training programs.
And my understanding is that one of the other areas besides these medical fields that you've concentrated on right now is the area of logistics, which is very strong in our region, and there are certifications there that can do the same sort of thing. Am I correct?
That's correct. And those certifications you can complete in less than a week. And so you can get that training in like 3 days and get into the labor market and go to work, but it can be a pathway.
What kind of jobs does that open up?
I'd say anything in logistics, forklift operations, running the docks, receiving. You look at a lot of the big companies like Kroger, for example. I mean, the companies are just looking for all of those types of workers. And it does lead into management. I mean, it can be as I hate to say, as simple, but whether it's pick or pack, warehousing, operating a forklift, running the logistics site, scheduling, it can even lead into some of the computerized parts of when deliveries come and go. So I'd say it's very varied depending on what you personally like.
Okay, we've been focusing on prosperity for all the last couple of minutes. And in that sense, it's how to break through in a efficient way into the job market. And that, I think, people can understand. FII, Family Independence Initiative, it's a little bit different kind of approach. So Vashti, would you talk about when people become part of, like Carla has, FII, what's the process there? Because it's not job training.
No, not at all. And I think it's really interesting, as Brandy was talking about that trust that was needed, right, that in order to get the work off the ground, that really they had to use some of their trust capital as Easter seals in order to make their work move. And what FII is saying is we don't put any of that trust capital in the families. Very rarely do we put that
in the normal institutions
that we in the community as a whole, mm-hmm. right? We have an idea around who families are, particularly when you're talking about families that are living in or near poverty and are working, quote unquote, working poor families. We have an idea of their story without getting to know them. And a lot of times that comes with a lack of trust. And FII's approach is really based on the idea that you can trust families to do what's best for themselves. And so we consider the work that we do with families as a partnership. Our family partners come into FII because they have seen that they have a set of goals that they want to reach, and they're willing to come together in community. So
Have they articulated those goals
they
yet?
They do. So one of the earliest questions that I ask families is when I'm sharing with them the opportunity, I say, now everyone who participates in this has to do a couple of things. And one of those is be willing to talk about what are some goals that you would like to see for you and your family over the next 2 years. And it ranges from things related to increasing credit or creating an emergency fund for savings to helping their child get on reading level or prepare to send an older child off to college. Sometimes families even want to just figure out things like, how do we spend more quality time together? Because their days are stretched so long that they know that that's something that's missing in the quality of their life. And so for us, we're saying, we trust that you know what's best for you and your family. And what we want to help you do is accelerate your progress to those goals. And we're going to do that by directly investing in the initiative that you're taking. So all of the families that are a part of FII have the opportunity to receive a direct capital investment that will help them accelerate their progress towards their goals.
So the opposite of the cliff effect. Rather than pulling resources back as people move forward, you invest as people move forward.
Definitely. Because what we hope to see is that if we can mitigate some of the pressure surrounding some of those moments where you might enter something that could be a bump in the road for you and I, that could potentially turn into a crisis for a family that has very little, right, liquid capital to withstand a car breaking down or a family member getting sick and having to take off a job where they don't have sick time. Mm-hmm. So we hope that we can help mitigate some of that, those issues, and allow them to move beyond that without it turning into a crisis. Recently, a family that I have been working with, she had a goal to save her house. And I knew that. And we just met recently. And it was the last question.
Save her house financially.
Save her house financially. They were very behind on their mortgage and they were at risk of losing their home. And so when we met, I waited till the very last question because I was almost afraid, like, what is she going to tell me about the house? And she's like, I don't know how we did it, But we did. We sat down. We've been so much more intentional about every dollar that we spent, and we are up to date on our mortgage. We are going to save our house. And that's before tapping into the FII resources. That is what they were able to do just by really focusing in on their financial needs.
Carla, have you seen that either in yourself or others that you have met through FII of not only setting a goal, but finding a way to execute on that goal, to move on that goal?
Yes, absolutely. So more of the goals that I had were, again, they were like social goals. And almost all the goals that I wanted to achieve, I've met. I have seen people around me that not actually in our Cincinnati region, but I had the opportunity to go to Chicago to the Policy Link Equity Summit, and I could see the work in place there. There were a lot of different organizations at that conference, but I was actually able to talk to other members of FII and see how it elevated them and achieved their goals.
Okay. So one of the things here is sometimes I think the picture that people have of programs to help people in poverty is there's lots of social workers everywhere. There's lots of staff. How efficient, how lean are let's focus on these two programs. So, Brandy, what about Progress for All?
With Prosperity for All.
Or Prosperity for All. Yeah, Progress, Prosperity.
Well, we were very lean. I was a team of one for the last 2 years working with individuals on those goals, like Vashti said, that I had to engage and get that trust factor so that we could say, what goals are you working on? How do we help you get there? So that's so, you know, just comparable with this program, too. I really I love working with people and bringing out those goals and helping them attain those goals. I always say, check that one off the list. You did that one. Training is completed. Check that off the list. We've got the resume updated. Check that off the list. The expungement finally came through. Check that off the list. So it's very empowering to work with folks that can say, oh, I did finish that. Let's keep on going, because it increases, you know, self-worth. It's asset building in our communities also. And really working with, I had someone, I was thinking about someone last week when we did our media event. She said, I don't just have a job. I have a career. And it made me just really smile inside and out, because that is the end all goal.
Well, I can tell you that when the team was working on this and trying to conceptualize it 3.5-4 years ago, that's exactly what we kept talking about. How do you change jobs into career ladders? Mm-hmm. Because that's what it's all about.
So important.
Cheryl,
I'd like to. Can I add one thing? Just
sure.
From an educational perspective, we have talked about healthcare and childcare, but I would also like to throw out manufacturing. And the manufacturing that we think of years past is nothing like it today. And again, there is quick training, huge in-demand jobs, and it's kind of neat, whether it's a welding certificate or it's learning to operate a machine, you know, through a machine operator program. But the nice thing is there are these short-term standalone things. So I just wanted to make sure that we covered, no matter what your area is, there is an opportunity today for quick in-demand jobs with all kinds of wraparound services to help our community and the listeners.
Okay. And on just, Cheryl, on the question of efficiency, is this just, you haven't had to add anybody at Cincinnati State. This is just utilization of resources you've already got there, right?
That's correct. Yes, correct.
Okay. Now, Vashti, your whole approach is not to surround people with a lot of social workers and whatever, right?
That is definitely true. So one of the things I tell all our family partners is that if you come to me with a question about a resource or a need, don't get upset. I'm going to turn you around and send you right back out to your group. The question is, have you talked to your group about that? And that's why we ask our families to come together in community to do this work. So it's usually they're clustered in groups of like 6 to 8 families. And I let them know straight off, I am not here to provide services to you. I'm here to watch you all grow together. And so we too are very lean. I'm a staff of one right now. But it works because the families are in control of the process.
Because I think that's important for our listeners to know that these programs are lean, and that means the resources are going to the people who are participating. All the Carlas out there who are participating in whatever the program is. And I remember when FII was first introduced and I was reading about it, there's this image that I think the founder, what he talked about was his mother. He grew up in poverty, although he said family didn't think of it that way. And what he saw was his mother was just incredibly resourceful about figuring out how to make sure he was going to go to college. And somehow she made it happen. And that's kind of the model that this whole thing grew out of.
That's definitely it, is looking back at your personal experience as our founder, Mauricio, looked back at his personal story and said, you know, it wasn't a program that had the answer for my family. It was my mother and her connections to her family and that broader network of support. And so that's what we're really encouraging the families in our community to remember, is that there is a network surrounding you, but you just have to reconnect to it. Because in many ways, we've become isolated from talking to each other and building those relationships in depth that it takes, that when something happens and you need someone, that there's someone who you can pick up the phone and call on, and they're there to help you figure out the solution together.
Well, I want to thank everybody here today and all the people connected in both of these programs, the Family Independence Initiative and Prosperity for All. Both can be found on the web and get connected. You're doing great work, and congratulations for moving these things forward, and we'll see where it goes in the future. 2019 marks the bicentennial of the University of Cincinnati. After the break, what is being planned? Thanks for listening to this podcast of Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives of our programs are available on the website wvxu.org. I'm Dan Hurley.